This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. It is just gone past 7:46 in the morning. It's Friday, 11th of December. And this week, really, the focus business news has been very much concentrated on Fitch's ratings downgrade of Malaysia's sovereign rating from A- to BBB+ with a stable outlook. Now, this has a real fiscal impact on the country because a downgrade typically does denote a higher risk of default, which in turn means it will be more costly for us to borrow funds. Now, in the statement, Fitch said that the depth and the duration of the COVID-19 crisis has weakened several of Malaysia's key credit matrices. Now, earlier this week, we spoke to Thomas Ruhmacher, who's the Director of Sovereign Ratings at Fitch Ratings, who highlighted that while the rating agency does aim to look through economic cycles and temporary shocks, it also has to consider the structural impact of the pandemic. He also added that the political uncertainty in Malaysia poses another risk factor. In the meantime, we also got the view of Zakia Jaffar, who is the Deputy Secretary General of Policy at the Ministry of Finance, who said that while MOF was disappointed with the downgrade, it was not entirely unexpected. Now, so to get another view on this matter, we have with us YB Dr. Ong Kian Ming, MP of Bangi and former Deputy International Trade Minister during Pakatan Harapan's time in government. Good morning, YB. First off, were you surprised by the Fitch rating downgrade of Malaysia's sovereign credit, or did you expect this move?
Good morning, Xiao Ning. I think yes and no. No, I wasn't surprised because you mentioned about Juan Zaukia, the Deputy Secretary of MOF, said we had already been put on a credit ratings watch outlook from stable to negative in April this year. So, that already gave us an indication. But I was surprised because the 2021 budget actually, to me, is quite conservative. We're going to experience a 5.4% budget deficit next year compared to 6.0% this year. So I thought that, we had a little bit, we had quite a lot more room to actually be more aggressive. And secondly, I was surprised because I thought that the current Minister of Finance is a banker by profession for many years. So I thought he would have been able to speak the language to the credit rating agencies to assuage them of their fears of, Malaysia's credit situation. Perhaps some things are beyond his control, such as the political uncertainty. Right now, what we are faced with is the worst of both worlds, whereby we haven't planned enough fiscal measures, I think, for 2021 to help our SMEs, help them bounce back from this COVID pandemic. And then at the same time, we haven't managed to avoid the ratings downgrade. So the worst of both worlds.
So do you think then this calls for structural reform, especially on governance, which was the reason cited for the downgrade, one of the reasons?
I think on the governance part, we did put us on the right path to reform by revealing the true underlying nature of the debt, including some of these commitments that was mentioned in the Fitch ratings outlook. And I'm glad that this government has continued to put those commitments in our books. Because these commitments are there, I think we would avoid the situation where we have more commitments that are necessary to be put on the books. But at the same time, I fear that some of the measures that we've put, especially with regards to anti-corruption and open procurement, may be undermined under this government. Because recently we saw a minister for Federal Territories, purportedly issuing a letter to the Prime Minister asking for a direct nego project to be awarded to a company that's owned by a former UMNO MP in Kelantan. This is all alleged. If let's say these practices were to be returned, the issue of governance that rating agencies look out for would definitely not be on a positive footing for Malaysia moving forward.
Now, do you foresee a potential for the other two international rating agencies, so the likes of S&P and Moody's, to follow suit in terms of downgrading Malaysia's sovereign rating? Because currently, they have maintained it at A- and A3, respectively.
Yeah, I think each agency looks at different factors and weighs different factors differently. But I would not be surprised if, let's say, they would also follow Fitch, because there could be this herd mentality moving forward, and some of the issues to do with political uncertainty would be one of the main considerations, in my opinion.
And let's go back to the budget, because you did mention that budget 2021, from your perspective, is a little bit too conservative. But is it also too optimistic in its assumptions that the economy will bounce back next year in terms of the ongoing COVID-19 crisis? I mean, what's your assessment of the economy actually?
Okay, so for 2020, MOF projects that our GDP would decrease by 4.5%. But if you look at the Fitch update, its projection is that our GDP will contract by 6.1%. So they are clearly more negative and pessimistic about our economy for 2020. Let me use a very simple analogy. You know, imagine if, let's say, you were jumping off a cliff. At the bottom of the cliff, there's a trampoline. Right, so when you reach the bottom, you hit the trampoline and then you bounce up. The problem is the lower the trampoline, that means the further you have to fall. Obviously, you'll bounce up further, but you'll also be further away from your original starting point. Right, so the point I'm trying to make is that the further our economy falls this year, yes, we'll bounce back more next year. But the truth of the matter is, if we fall by 6%, we increase by 6%. It's not the same. We won't get back to the same level on the cliff, right? I think more importantly, you know, having these kinds of false or over-optimistic takes on the economy next year actually, you know, would make you not realize the problems that many companies are facing right now, because they've depleted their cash reserves, most of them, for 2020. And whatever vulnerabilities that they have for 2021, any CMCO being implemented, as we saw in the final quarter of this year, would really force many of these businesses to close down. So actually, we need to be on a pandemic war footing. But sadly, you know, we had a much more conservative budget that didn't really help us on the ratings downgrade either.
So, Kian Ming, what would you have done differently if you were the one tabling budget 2021 to help, let's say, businesses get back on their feet?
Yeah, so for example, the COVID fund that we approved in Parliament this year, the allocation was 38 billion for 2020, but it reduces to 17 billion for 2021. I think my colleagues and I are quite unanimous in supporting a bigger deficit and also a bigger COVID fund. So for example, if let's say we could put more subsidies into workers' testing, which may prevent some companies right now from testing more workers in order to manage this COVID, I think that would be something good. Increase the worker subsidy from 600 ringgit, which is what the government is providing for next year, to 1,000 ringgit. And if, let's say, there are any areas that are affected by the CMCO, the government should give an assurance that wage subsidy may increase even further to, let's say, 1,500 ringgit. If you are one of the businesses that are in a CMCO area, just to assuage business owners that they will be helped and they won't be pressured to let go of more workers. And then also, for example, a huge subsidy grant to get more people on board the employment insurance scheme, which currently many gig workers and also temporary workers are not on. So, you know, we would have been much more aggressive on some of these points, but unfortunately, we're not in government.
Meanwhile, Kian Ming, do you think that the budget strategy adopted by the opposition is the wrong one? After all, you know, it was said that you would oppose it at the committee debate stage, but currently the score is 22-0.
Yeah, I think on hindsight, probably many of us would have preferred that we would have voted on the second reading, but that was the opposition leader, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim's prerogative. But right now, I see a silver lining, which is that there's much more attention being paid to the line items that are in each individual ministry's budget. So, for example, the fact that we're going to spend 25 million ringgit on commitments to APEC 2020, even though most of it was done online and it's going to be online again in 2021, the fact that we're going to spend 85 million ringgit on JASA, that's been cut down to 45 million because of pressure from the opposition. You know, we're going to spend 13 billion ringgit in capital injections under MOF's development expenditure. All these issues would not have received the same kind of public scrutiny if, let's say, we hadn't voted at the committee stage. So, you know, there is a silver lining, and I think this strategy is one that we will employ until the final reading of the budget, which is next week.
All right, thank you for your time. That was YB on Kian Ming, MP for Bangi and former Deputy International Trade Minister during Pakatan Harapan's time in government, giving us his view on the recent downgrade by Fitch and also how or what they would have done differently if Pakatan Harapan was tabling budget 2021. But I'm not so sure I would really agree that there is a silver lining. So far, the impression is that, you know, the opposition did not put up a fight with budget 2021. And when you consider the vote at the committee stage is 22 to nil, it doesn't seem like they've made much headway, except for maybe some concessions here and there. But we're about to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, we have the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking to Shafi Shamsuddin, MD of Aeon Malaysia. Stay tuned for that. That's going to be happening in a few minutes. But up next, the Mercedes rock break with the Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.